it's getting towards the end of January, isn't it? Getting towards the end of January, that means we've just had the holiday period. And I wonder if you feel rested coming out of the holiday period, out of the Christmas time and New Year, and some of you who are at school as students, I hope you're ready for what's to come. Some of you who are at school as teachers, I'm sorry. Some of you who are parents of school-aged kids, this is so great. School is coming back, but that means the holiday period is ended, and I wonder if you feel rested. I'm actually not talking here about rest from tiredness. Because there's actually a general sense of stress and anxiety common to many people in our society, in our culture, and it's common to many of us. There are all kinds of stresses and strains and anxieties in life, aren't there? Mortgage stresses, work stresses, all that kids' club stresses, stresses over unemployment, anxieties over health issues, or when things at home aren't going well, or loneliness and guilt, chronic stress and anxiety and guilt about the things that you know you have done or haven't done, and the shame that piles up around them, or the feeling of just anxious thoughts piling up as everything feels too hard. You're worrying about the future. Do you need rest? We all need rest because we all face big things and we fear big things, and we're small and often helpless to fix whatever it is that's going on in our life, whatever it is that we're facing. Last week, we looked at Psalm 22 and we saw that Jesus, the human Messiah, meets us in the depths of our despair and pain and sorrow and grief. And he shows that those things are not the end, but there's hope. And today we move on to the very next Psalm, Psalm 23, which has been a favorite of so many people for so long. I imagine there are some of us here who could recite it and have known it from our childhood. And my hope is that we'll all know something of the rest that King David felt as he wrote this psalm, and that we'll be able to pray these words to God when life feels overwhelming. Because as we go through the psalm, we're going to see that God shepherds his people through life. And secondly, we'll see that God shepherds his people through death. Thirdly, God shepherds his people into glory. And this means we can rest, truly rest, confident in him. So let me pray, and that's the only. Heavenly Father, we pray that we will hear your words for us tonight. Please find our anxieties and our stresses and give them a calming, soothing We pray that you will help me to speak clearly and help us all to hear what it is that you want us to know tonight. Amen. So we see in the first three verses that God shepherds his people through life. Have a look there at verses 1 to 3 with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. So the psalm begins with David announcing that the Lord is his shepherd. This is the Lord who had rescued his people from Egypt with a mighty hand. This is the Lord who had brought them to the promised land. The Lord who had kept his promises. And now David is calling this Lord his shepherd. this close and intimate relationship with the Lord. Now, David, spoiler alert, he was not a sheep. But he knew that his God looked after him the way that a shepherd looks after his sheep. And shepherding is a big job. I am a city boy, but I've been told on good authority that shepherding is hard. And particularly at this time in the Middle East, as David was writing this, shepherds would live with their sheep, caring for them, living with them, finding food for them, protecting them. And it was hard work. And David knew this because he had been a shepherd, shepherding his father's sheep. He had to protect them from bears and lions who wanted a sheepy snack. Now, this is commitment. I don't know what you would do if a lion turned up to your place of work. But David went at it. Not an actual photo, but David went at it to protect his sheep. That's commitment. Shepherds were completely committed to their sheep, and David says that the Lord is his shepherd. So what does it mean to have God as your shepherd? Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. David knows that if God is his shepherd, he will not be left without the things that he needs, that he truly needs. And it makes sense because God is the one who made David and knows what he truly needs. And God is the one who made the world and can give what he truly needs. And we see this here in verse 2. David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Lying down in the grass may not be a thing for you, but think about this as a sheep, particularly as a sheep living in the Middle East. A field of grass, lush grass, long and fresh and juicy. And this sheep has eaten so much of this grass and just sat right down in it and knows that even if it has a nap, there's more grass for tomorrow. How amazing is this for this sheep? And if the sheep is thirsty, the shepherd has that covered too. He leads his sheep beside still, calm water. So what could be there for a thirsty sheep? A safe, calm, still pond. She can find her peace and rest. This is a picture of abundant provision, isn't it, from the shepherd. Everything that the sheep needs, they can rest in the care of their shepherd. And David is saying that he knows that he can rest in the care of his shepherd, the Lord. If he truly needs anything, God will provide it. What a great stress reliever. He didn't have to be anxious about anything. I'm not talking about clinical anxiety here, but the stresses and worries of life. If God thought he needed it, David would get it. And he could rest calm like the sheep in verse 1, knowing that God would come through with the goods. But to be clear, David's life wasn't always easy. It was no life of luxury lots of the time. There were real times that he was hungry and thirsty, and the record of 1 and 2 Samuel shows terrible things happening in his life. On the run from people trying to kill him, Saul, the previous king, wanting to spear him into the wall, his own son pursuing him to murder him. His life seemed anything but restful. So how has his shepherd provided for him and cared for him in these sorts of situations? Have a look at verse 3. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. David faced, he knew that his shepherd was leading him on the right path. And David could be confident of this because God's reputation was tied to this. He was leading him on these paths for his own name's sake. You see, a shepherd who led their sheep down the ditch or off a cliff or away from water would be just a really bad reputation. What a terrible shepherd. And the same with God. David was God's chosen and anointed king, the king that God chose for his people. So God was going to protect his reputation and lead David exactly where David needed to be. And this includes the really good times and the down times, the bad times. God was leading him on the right path. But he was also leading him through. He was providing for David's spiritual needs along the way. Not just food, but comfort, relief, spiritual relief, companionship, reassurance of his promises, restoring David's soul, giving him rest in even the darkest of times. Through the ups and downs of his life, David could know that the Lord, his shepherd, was with him. And that was a great comfort. That gave him relief. Do you want this kind of rest in your turbulent life, the ups and downs of your life? Well, the good news of the Bible is that Jesus has taken on the role of the good shepherd, the shepherd for everyone who trusts him. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And here we see that our own shepherd was willing to lay down his life for us, to rescue us, to bring us rest. Because our greatest need is not food or grass, water or drink, it's forgiveness. And there's nothing that you and I can do to make it happen. We've all sinned. We've all rejected God. We've all ignored him. We all deserve his punishment. And there's nothing we can do about it. But our shepherd did something about it. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. And if our shepherd was willing to do that, to pay that kind of price of his own life, don't you think we can trust him for the little things? Don't you think we can rest in his provision as we rest in his forgiveness? So if you are anxious about work, mortgages, houses, stressed about sickness, and just the things of life, pray this psalm to God. Remind him that he is your shepherd and find rest in him. If you're anxious about your guilt and your sin, call out to God and rest in his good forgiveness. What? Because of what the shepherd has done on your behalf. Because God shepherds his people through life. But secondly, God shepherds his people through death. Verse 4, the image of the fields and water and just beautiful, luxurious grass, it all seems to turn a turn for the worse. We see David walking through a path of darkness and danger and death. And so the question is, can he still rest in God, his shepherd, when everything seems to have gone wrong? Read verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here we see that the imagery has changed from beautiful and light to dark and death. But David's still making the same point. The Lord is still his shepherd. He can still rest in him. And we see that God's sheep are never out of his reach. David begins with the words, even though, sort of giving us the idea that he's going to introduce even the worst case scenario, even if the worst thing happened to him, even if he walked through the valley of death, or the valley of the shadow of death, where death is hanging over him, ready to crush him, David doesn't have to fear because his shepherd is there with him. It doesn't mean that David didn't think he would die. He was obviously going to die. He was human. And that's what we do. We're good at it. No. But he knew that he was facing death and danger. When they came to him, he wouldn't be alone. Because his shepherd would be there with him. His shepherd would be comforting him. God would still be with him, comforting him. He would still be on the right path, even if the path he was on was a path of sickness and danger and death. God was leading him on the right path, and he could rest in God. Friends, we can have this great confidence as well. Have this great confidence that our shepherd will be with us and comfort us and guide us through the very darkest paths of life. As we saw last week in Psalm 22, Jesus, God himself, experienced suffering and sorrow and pain and loneliness and even death itself. He knew what it is to face these things. He knows what we go through and our anxieties. He felt it in the Garden of Gethsemane when he cried out to God, God, take this cup from me. He felt it as he slowly stumbled up the hill towards his own execution. He felt it as he hung on the cross. He has endured this personally. And he will guide us through it. If we are trusting in Jesus, we do not need to fear danger or sickness or death. Not because they won't happen, but because he will shepherd us through. He will always be with us. So we're saying that God shepherds his people through life, God shepherds his people through death, and finally, God shepherds his people into glory. Now verse 5 and 6, the tone of the passage shifts again and moves from this imagery of danger through to an image of a banquet and feasting. See there, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the picture of a victory feast, a banquet. It seems that God has led David to victory over his enemies. The darkness has passed. And now he prepares a celebration banquet. And more than just that, God actually forces David's enemies to sit there and watch as he eats the victory banquet. This is complete and utter devastation over all his foes. Humiliating. And then God anoints David's head with oil, which might not be your thing, but maybe think of like the finest cologne or the finest perfume. David, given the hot towel experience and the cologne, freshening him up for this banquet in his honor. David's cup overflows. He's got more than enough to drink, more than enough to eat. This is a luxurious feast. Because the danger has passed, the darkness has passed, the the enemy's vanquished, and all he has left is blessing. In fact, he couldn't even escape God's goodness if he tried. See there? Goodness and mercy, God's goodness and mercy pursue him. They follow him around, showering onto him. And he's at ease, spending the rest of his days in the Lord's house, his shepherd's house. What could be more restful than that? And if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus, this is your future too, except yours is better. As we've already seen, Jesus died to rescue us, but he didn't stay dead. He rose to life. And he defeated the enemies of death and sin. He crushed them. They don't have power over us anymore. We will die, yes. But our shepherds ensure that we will be raised to be with him. He will lead us into our heavenly Father's house. He will lead us to glory, where he invites us to join in the victory banquet and feast for eternity. And we'll be celebrating the victory. We'll be celebrating the victory over death and sin, over sickness and pain. We'll be celebrating his complete victory. Do you want to see these enemies gone? Death, gone. Sickness, cancer, gone. All the hurt and suffering in our world, God, don't you want to celebrate victory over them? Well, Jesus says in John 14, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." In the Father's house, there will be no more danger, no more stresses, no more anxieties, no more fears, only blessing. Because our shepherd is leading us out of the troubles of this life into perfect rest with him. And if we are trusting him and following the Lord Jesus, this heavenly banquet is your future. It's my future. Living in the house of God forever. Living with God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Living with our shepherd. But if you are not yet trusting Jesus, if you do not know him as your Savior, if you do not know this hope and this comfort, you can. This can be yours. We're told that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who turns from sin and rejection of God and turns to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be saved and brought into this family, being part of this kingdom. Today, if you hear these words, this is your chance to believe and to find this great hope, this great comfort. Just hear these words from the shepherd, John 10. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." David knew the comfort. He knew the rest of trusting his shepherd. He knew the peace and the hope that came with knowing the Lord as his shepherd. And you and I can know that now shepherd, the Lord Jesus, is shepherding us through life, through the ups and through the downs. He joins us. He guides us. We are always on the right path that he has chosen. And more than that, our shepherd leads us, or shepherds us, through death. We can cry out to our shepherd through the very darkest of times, in our greatest of fears. And finally, we know that God shepherds.